time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys this Thursday. I feel like there's so much 49ers news, and we're going to kind of break that down. But we get the best of the best, Ant from 49ers Cutback. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing great. And, you know, it's a fun time of the year. I always enjoy March because you get all the free agency frenzy, and our phones are constantly going off as, you know, the new transactions happen, and the 49ers are getting things done, you know. And it was very funny. I was talking to a friend, and we were talking about how he was kind of frustrated that it was just Mike Evans and then basically nothing. And all of a sudden, like within 5 minutes, the OSA trade came, and he was like, oh, here we go. The Niners are in it. And it's amazing how one move like that kind of gets everyone's attention. So I'm super tuned into all of it. I've been excited about free agency, and I think it's a fun time, and now I get to come on here, John, talk to you, and we get to talk about the 49ers and what they've been doing, and it's fun to be back. I'm excited to get talking 49ers because it's been a little bit of a break.
That's good, man, and it's funny because this part's funny. The wife's feeling a little bit under the weather, so I've been trying to be a decent husband, which is very difficult for me, but I'm trying my hardest, and sure enough, you talk about like the phone going crazy. That's how I found out about the OSA trade from Charles, who, you know, we did the draft together. My Eagles friend, he texted me first. And that's what I saw. And I was like, oh, crap. And, you know, I run into the office and, you know, go live and all that stuff. But, you know, it's funny. I put out initially on Twitter, I was like, I feel like the Niners maybe overpaid just a little bit because you knew the Cowboys had to get rid of something. The more and more I watch the tape of OSA, I am retracting that, and so I apologize. I'm keeping the tweet up because people are really mad, and I kind of like upsetting people sometimes. Not that that was my goal, but I was like, man, they had to trade one of the three, so I was like, third round might have been paying a little bit too much, but I don't think so. That Osa's a fun as hell player, and the more and more I read into his background, his personality, what he means to the locker room, his character, it's just like, man, this dude, a lot of positives. So what are your thoughts on the 49ers trading the third round pick for Osa Odighizuwa? I got the name right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the name is crazy. Like I typed in his name earlier, and the first thing that came up was pronunciation. Like everyone's trying to figure out how to say it. And the 49ers like to give us a lot of cool things to spell. You know, you got Juszczyk, you get used to Juszczyk, then all of a sudden you got Okawanu, and now we got Odighizuwa. So appreciate that so much. But yeah, I mean, the dude's a fun player. In fact, last year I was talking about him before Dallas signed him. And I was like, hey, this guy would be a nice addition to the 49ers. You're talking about a guy that generates pressure. Like this is one of those guys that gets in the backfield consistently. He's a penetrator, whether it's stopping the run or getting after the quarterback, which the quarterback is his forte. You're talking a little bit undersized, but you look at this guy, and I mean, he's well put together. The speed, the lateral quickness, the hand work. I mean, he's got some real good hand work when you watch him and the things that he's capable of doing. I like some of the versatility that he displayed when they had Micah Parsons, when they would play him outside on the edge and they would kind of move Parsons inside. So he's got a lot of versatility to be able to play in some of those NASCAR packages. And now you have a legit defensive tackle. It's not just going to be defensive ends in their NASCAR package, but now Osa can go in there and do a lot of things as well. I thought the third round pick, it seemed pretty good for me, especially if you're trying to outbid other teams for him, but also you look at his contract, and it's very favorable, right? No guaranteed money after this season. It's up there as far as money, but you can rework this deal down the line. So to me, I thought it was a dynamite pick. And once John Franklin Myers got away, once he went and moved on to the Tennessee Titans and the 49ers didn't get him, there had to be a player like this that they found. There was no one in free agency. So I love that they went and got it done with the trade. You'd prefer not to have to give up draft capital and get the contract, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And I love the moxie of John Lynch and this front office to go ahead and get it done and signal to this team, hey, we're competing. We're coming after Seattle and Los Angeles, and we're trying to get something done.
And probably one of my favorite things is like younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper, younger, cheaper. That's what we've been hearing. Did you like, I did not see them going after and getting, you know, a Mike Evans who's long in the tooth, old, you know, maybe we'll have to wait till those contract details come out, but it's probably going to be basically a 1 year deal. This Osa trade, there's no guaranteed money on that. Now he's locked up for two more years, but this is essentially a 1 year tryout deal as well, because there's no guaranteed money. So like there is a little bit of a change in attitude. To last year, you brought in zero offense or defensive starters through free agency, none. And I said, you know, I would really, really like to get 1 to 2 free agency starters, then build in the draft. They've got their two starters. Now, you gave up that third round pick. I wasn't really expecting that. But as you said, I think that that is market value. And the fact that so many Cowboys fans are so upset that they only got a third, that is right. The market dictates the value that is there. And so with the 49ers being happy, it was only a third. The Cowboys being pissed, it was only a third. Yeah, I kind of find a little bit of that, the Venn diagram middle. So can you talk to me just a little bit more about changing the attitude, perhaps from 2025 free agency to this year, and go and get some of these veteran guys? Price tag's a little bit bigger too, though, Ant.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely paid. I mean, it's $20 million, right? The last time we've seen the 49ers do this with a defensive tackle, Javon Hargrave, you know, and that didn't work out. But Osa's a different player entirely in the fact that he's under 30, right? This guy's going to play at 28 years old. It's a little bit different. So I think that we're getting a different player. But I think last year got everyone's mind on a thought process of younger, cheaper. And I think that everyone thought that that was going to continue. But one of the things that I've been saying, and a lot of people have been emailing me and reaching out to me, and hey, I appreciate it. It's always fun having some of that discourse, is you can't go younger and cheaper across the board. When you've got a group of players like you have with George Kittle and Fred Warner and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams and these guys that are a little bit older, you've got a nice group of players you can build around. You can't have everyone be younger and cheaper. You have to kind of fill it in here and there. And I think that that's why you see a guy like Mike Evans make sense when you got a core group that's kind of in that 30-plus range, is you got to build right now to win. This group is not going to be here forever. You've got, what, a couple more years probably to go after and get it. So I think the 49ers are looking at this and saying, hey, we reset last year. Now we've got the money. We've got some young players we can build around. We still got our core group. Let's get guys that can kind of go out there and get it done. It doesn't mean younger and faster, younger and cheaper is not something they still want to do. But I think that that was more so for last year. And this year it's more now kind of mixing it all in. Some veterans, some young guys, some medium age guys, and just get everyone together as they're trying to formulate a really good team. Because they realized where they were last year. They weren't that far off from getting a chance to get where they want to get. So adding a couple key pieces, hitting again on the draft with some good players, and maybe they're in a position to do something even further in the playoffs. Things can change in 1 year. Just look at Seattle.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you get a couple of those guys that could set you over the hump. And on top of that, like, you have to constantly remind yourself, the 49ers are getting back Fred Warner. The 49ers are getting back Nick Bosa. The 49ers are getting back Mikal Williams. That's three starters in and of itself. And so you kind of apply that to there. Now, and again, like, I love this question, Niner Parr. If he's so good, why did Dallas move off of him? That wasn't the plan. They signed Osa to a 4-year, $80 million deal. He took less to stay in Dallas. Like, he had more offered from the Commanders and took a team-friendly deal because he wanted to stay in Dallas. He built his forever home there. He wanted to be a part of that community. That was the plan. But then they did the Micah Parsons trade. They got Kenny Clark, who's a stout run stuffer. You know, he's an absolute stud. Then they traded for Quinnen Williams. So they went from Osa being their number one defensive tackle to their number three. And now they switched their defensive front alignment. Now they're running an off front, and you got Kenny Clark as your nose. You've got Quentin as your three. Quentin Williams better than Osa, right? He got a first and a second round pick to get him. Osa got a third round pick. So what happened was the Cowboys and their nearsightedness and not, you know, quality team planning, if you know anything about Dallas, is what they do. they had to get rid of a 27-year-old quality player that they tried to build their team around. They gave him a free, or not free, but a team-friendly deal. They had to send him packing because, man, they went out and got Quinnen Williams. They got Kenny Clark. And they're so up against the cap. Like, the Cowboys are still trying really, really hard to get under the cap. They're still not under the cap from last time I saw. So that's the whole idea. And yeah, right here, shout out to Notorious GAV. Cowboys were over the cap. They had to move people, and they're still restructuring and restructuring and restructuring. They're not going to be able to sign their draft class at their current state. They're struggling with the cap. And that's why Dak Prescott's going to be the quarterback there for another decade. And they keep extending and pushing those $70 million cap hits to the future. CD Lamb, same thing. They franchise George Pickens. They have no money, and they're not even a playoff caliber team. So that's why they got rid of them. So if you just look at it in a bubble, like, well, good teams don't trade good players. The Cowboys do. The Cowboys do all the time. It's kind of who they are. So what are your thoughts, Ant, just on why would the Cowboys get rid of him if he's so great?
Yeah, I mean, you brought it up. Kenny Clark, Quinnen Williams, both those guys came in trade. Then they traded for Rashawn Gary as well. So they added a lot of money. You can't have three defensive tackles, you know, making that much money. So they had to go ahead and make a move. And, you know, this is one where Osa ends up being the guy out. But you brought it up. They had to free up salary cap space. They had to get something done. Everyone knew they were up against it. And that's part of the reason, as soon as everyone figured out, hey, they were up against it with some of the moves they made, they started tying the 49ers to Osa, because that just made too much sense for the 49ers to go get a player that fits their scheme, a true three tech that can penetrate and make plays. And for Dallas, they had to get it done. The alternative for Dallas was they were going to have to release him. They were going to have to just let him go. And so the 49ers paid a little bit more for somebody that's usually going to get released. But you got a guy that you can have some flexibility when it comes to contract. He has a lot of play versatility, and a guy you needed when you look at the landscape of the defensive tackles that were available. And you look at the draft, where finding a penetrating defensive tackle, there are some in the draft, but you weren't going to find one early that was going to be able to produce the way that Osa is going to be able to produce for this football team. So I thought it was a no-brainer for the 49ers to go ahead and get done. And for Dallas, they put themselves in a situation with the deals they made. I don't blame them for going out and getting Quinnen Williams. I think that, you know, anyone would have made that deal because of the type of defensive tackle he is. But there is a fallout because of it. And so they scrapped the plan, and now the 49ers are benefiting from it. And I love to see it.
Yeah, that's where I am too. Like, one, you don't see the 49ers and Cowboys trading often. That's my number one hate team. I hate the Cowboys more. And how fun is that Dallas game going to be now, right? And shout out to Big Red. Can't wait to see you, man. I know he's coaching out there in North Forney. But that game's going to be huge. We're going to be there. We already have our venue. We're going to be at Texas Live the day before. If you've ever been to Dallas, we've already got that locked up. Tailgate's going to – it's going to be our biggest party ever. Houston was our biggest party so far. We're going to set the tone higher because Dallas is my home. I'm inviting all the Chapmanites out. And so we're going to have a good time out there. But now you got Osa, and shout out to Jane Slater. For those of you who don't know, she's a Cowboys beat reporter. I know Jane Slater for a long time because she was a Longhorn beat reporter before that. She does incredible work, but she put out there, you know, she's kind of like the Matt Barrows for the Cowboys. She put out there, he was their number one locker room favorite. Dude was amazing character. And, you know, whenever they had the passing of Neyland, which was tragic, he led the entire locker room in how to handle that and, you know, bringing, helping with the family and all those different things. Like, he is a cornerstone. And the Cowboys traded away Solomon Thomas and Osa, two of the greatest human beings you'll ever meet, within hours of each other. And so, like, these are fan favorite guys. I understand Solomon Thomas isn't, you know, the top five pick that we all hoped he would be, but that dude is a locker room mainstay everywhere he's been, positive force. This guy fits the culture of the 49ers in Osa. Like, he is one of those guys, and I would argue, and I'm curious your take on here, I think he's the best defensive tackle the 49ers have had since DeForest Buckner. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. I think that he's more consistent than Eric Armstead at this point in his career, for sure. He's about 5 years younger. But on top of that, he's only missed one game his entire career. So is there any other defensive tackle that you want to throw out there that the 49ers have had? Like, where's the excitement level with Osa Odighizuwa?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. And I think you bring up Buckner. I think that that's a really good equivalent to look at. You know, a guy who's a real penetrator, a guy in the backfield who has good pass rush moves, that's going to generate a lot of problems for other teams in the backfield. And people are going to have to scheme to figure out how to slow him down. I think he's a problem for interior offensive linemen. And so I think that that's a nice comp. You know, they're definitely different when you look at the size, right? Buckner is a completely taller player. But when you're talking about wingspan, that's something that Osa has in a big way. I mean, this dude's got long arms, but plays with a 6'2 frame. So he plays kind of a little bit lower than everybody else, which benefits him when it comes to leverage. So I like his build. That really fits into what Chris Kocurek ultimately likes, the length, but also a little bit shorter to the ground. And I think now they've got a really good combination with him and Alfred Collins on the front, where Alfred Collins can kind of slide into that you know, that zero tech, that one eye, whatever they end up playing him at, and allow him to kind of play his run stopping with some pass rush upside. But Osa can handle the pass rush for the 49ers, be that penetrator. I think it's a nice fit. And I do think he's one of the better defensive tackles that they've had in a while. I think you look at Armstead and Buckner, that was kind of the best two that they had. You know, DJ Jones, when it came to that zero tech and what he was capable of doing. But this is going to be really good for the 49ers. This is going to benefit Nick Bosa a lot. And this is going to benefit Mikel Williams and those guys, as now they've got a legitimate force on the inside. This is what they envisioned with Javon Hargrave. But Hargrave wasn't able to get it done. I think Osa will get it done. I think he's got a little bit more tools in the toolbox, and I think we've seen it through his time in Dallas.
Yeah, I will say this. Probably my two favorite things about Osa, one missed tackle in 700 defensive snaps last year. Like, again, that 84-inch wingspan you talked about, that's LeBron James. That's how long LeBron James' wingspan is. This dude's under 6'2". And man, he, one missed tackle. That's insane. And then the quarterback hits, you know, second for all defensive tackles. So affecting the quarterback, getting there, his effort. Ah, man, he's a fun dang player. He's a fun player. All right, we got this question from Monkey. Let's switch to the other side of the ball, Ant. We know they don't dress the O-line, but do either of you think the addition of Matute to the mature to the staff will move the needle enough to what is, you know, they have at the offensive line? They brought in the offensive assistant from the college level. They bring in, they've signed two guys on the offensive line, both super value plays. You know, you're over there talking Vidarian Lowe and then Brett Toth. What are your thoughts on the offensive line? And does any of the moves, whether coaching or the two players, does that give you more, I don't know, confidence in this 49ers offensive line room, or is it just going to be more of the same?
I feel more confident with the backups right now. I think that Vidarian Lowe made me feel confident that they could go to an actual swing tackle if that's how they felt. I think it gave him a little bit more versatility up front because we've seen him do it on the left side and the right side. Is it going to be perfect? No. I mean, you got a backup for a reason, right? But I thought that they did a really good job of replacing Spencer Burford and I think getting better at the position. So I give them a lot of credit for that. When it comes to Toth, I think that you look at a guy that's got versatility to play guard and center, which means he could be the Matt Hennessy replacement. So once again,
that's how I saw it too.
Yeah. Versatility up front. I think Toth is an interesting guy. If you go back and you watch what he did with the Eagles last year and his two starts that he had, I thought he played really well. He's a guy that can get out and move in space, a big guy. And so I definitely thought that those were good value signings. I thought those were moves that are going to help this offensive line overall. But I'm not sold on them having a left guard starter right now. I don't know what they think of Connor Kobe. I don't know if they want to put Toth in that competition. I don't know if that's something they're looking at. But I still am not sold on left guard yet. So if you're talking overall commitment to the offensive line, they still haven't finished the job, I think, finding that left guard starter, unless they believe Toth can do it. But I think as far as depth, I like it right now. I think right now it kind of leans into maybe there's a couple guys still out there in free agency. Maybe they go that direction if the price is right. But it looks like the draft, maybe they'll address it a little bit. We'll find out. I don't know. But I think at least with depth-wise, I feel really comfortable with the offensive line. I think they just need a starter.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the 49ers are perfectly content with their 4 out of 5 offensive linemen. It's that left guard spot. And so do they expect Connor Kolbe to, you know, take strides? I know it was like 16 snaps that last playoff game whenever it was against Seattle in the blowout. Dude looked good, but he's also the same guy that they benched several times and refused to go back to no matter how many injuries at that left guard spot. There's lots of value plays out there. Ben Bartsch still out there. Shoot, Burford's still out there. I doubt that they're going to go back with Burford, but that is there as well. So I don't know. I don't see them valuing that left guard spot enough. And now that you don't have a third round pick, you're kind of forced to choose because you've got a first and a second. Those are premium picks. And then you got a bunch of fourth rounders. That's it. Like the Niners are kind of hamstrung. I mean, shoot, lack of a better term, and the 49ers deal with so many hamstrings, we might as well use it here. You're kind of like pigeonholed into this idea of, dude, we've got 2 picks in the draft. That's it. Then you got a bunch of fourth rounders that you might be able to get depth with. But that first and second round pick, if that's it, look at Logan. I want more draft capital. The Niners are now on the short end of draft capital. You have 6 draft picks, 2 premium picks, 4 fourth rounders. What's your analysis just on, can they operate in this? Do they need to create more? Does this make you more likely to trade Mac Jones? Man, there's a lot going there with what the Niners have in their arsenal with draft picks now.
Yeah, I think that the market for Mac Jones isn't really materializing either. I think we're seeing teams, you know, be willing to go out and get a Kyler Murray or somebody else on the open market. So Geno Smith going to the Jets potentially kind of messes up them going after Mac Jones. So I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get a second round pick for Mac Jones, and maybe Mac Jones is just going to stay. I think the 49ers were very content with the 7 picks that they had within the top 150. I think they would have been comfortable with that. Last year they stood pat and made, you know, their picks and you know, walked away. But I think that there is going to be an opportunity for them at some point. I don't know if that's going to be in the second round at 58 or or 27 in the first round to kind of move back, maybe acquire a pick or two. I think that that could be something they do. But I think it is really important that no matter what the 49ers decide to do, those first two picks that they actually make, they need to be impact players. They need to be guys that can help this football team this year. Because the way that they're building this team, yes, they've added key veterans and they've added some depth. They need some guys that can come in, step in, and make some plays. So I think that it's still important. If you don't get a trade that is absolutely wonderful at 27, you make the selection at 27. If you don't get something at 58 that's really going to benefit your football team, if there's a player you love, take the player. I would rather have six solid players with those first two picks being great players that you think you can develop into consistent starters that can make an impact on your team than trading back just to acquire picks, just to have a couple extra shots at maybe hitting the right guy. So I hope that they do that because there's really good players in that range, 27 to 58. There's really good players. And if the right guys fall, the 49ers need to go pounce on them because there's some starters that are available in that range.
Okay, so I've got a hypothetical for you. Let's play a little 49ers general manager, right? You're on the 49ers hold the number 27 pick, right, in the first round. So I'm on this Jimmy Johnson draft tech trade chart, and I'm trying to, you know, Allen from The Hangover calculate these moves and, you know, whatever. So here's a trade. The 49ers would give up pick 27 to the Miami Dolphins. In exchange, the 49ers would get pick 43 and pick 75. This is almost a point-for-point exchange. Like, 49ers are getting a little bit extra gravy, which is nice. But is that something that would interest you, or do you have to wait and see what falls to 27? So, again, give up your first rounder for picks 43 and 75. That would give you 2 seconds and a third rounder. That gets you 3 picks in the top 75. What are your thoughts on a trade like this?
Oh, I like the idea. I like, you know, potentially falling back and picking up that extra third-round pick because I think that there's a tremendous amount of value in that range. There's a lot of, especially when you're looking at guys that are going to be defensive backs or even a potential offensive lineman. We know the 49ers have liked to go with guys kind of in that second, third-round range. There would be some guys there. The key is going to be who's going to be available at 27 because if there is a guy that you believe is going to be a big-time player, you don't move off of it. If you think that you got a lot of guys kind of graded in the same range and you think one of those guys is going to potentially fall to 43, then you absolutely make the move and you allow that to happen. So it's all going to depend on the board. You get there and all of a sudden you're like, hey, 27 to 43, we've got about 5 guys we really like. We think one of them, at least one of them is going to fall to that range. We're not going to lose a whole lot, but we're going to get the value of having that extra third-round pick. You absolutely pull the trigger on it. But if you get there and there's a guy that you're staring at, you're like, you know what? We can't pass on this guy. Then you go for it. You go for that guy that you know is going to make the play. So you have to be sold on it. It has to be a guy that you're completely 100% across the board willing to take. But I think if the right trade presents itself, you do think about taking it, trading out of the first round and getting an extra third round pick where you can add more draft capital to your football team. I think that would be something I would entertain if the right guy's not there.
Okay, well, let's put some names to this then, okay? The 49ers are on the clock at pick 27. You have that trade in your back pocket, okay, where you fall back and you get an extra second or third. I'm going to give you a list of players. You tell me if that is a player you take at 27 or trade back. Like, I want to hear, because let's put the concrete to it, okay? Akeem Mesidor, the edge out of Miami. He's there at 27. Take him or trade back?
I'm trading back.
Trading back, okay? Caleb Banks, which I doubt he's going to be there. Now you have your defensive tackle, but still, it's an elite prospect. Caleb Banks, take him or trade back?
Trade back.
Caden Proctor, offensive tackle. Not sure he's a scheme fit, but he's a damn good player.
Yeah, I'm trading back.
Denzel Boston.
I'm trading back.
Oh, dang. Caleb Lemieux, offensive tackle, Utah. Slide him at guard. He can play guard, then kick out when Trent's done.
I'm not taking an offensive guard in the first round. I'm trading back.
He's a tackle, though, that could play guard, Ant. Come on, man. Still no?
I okay, see him cool. As a guard. I'm trading back.
Okay, Cassius Howell, the edge speedster, tiny arms, built like John Chapman on the edge.
Now, here we're talking about this. This is why. Because I just watched Raheem Morris take Jalen Walker in the first round. And I'm saying this is the kind of guy that you're going to get. And so I think this one is in play for the 49ers. If he's there at 27, I think they think really hard about taking him and adding more pass rush to their defensive line.
I agree. And like somebody asked me, you know, if I had to like put my stock on picking the first round pick right now, Cassius Howell was my guy. I obviously I'm a Longhorn, screw A&M, but dude, he is a fun player that I didn't think had a chance to be there at 27. Came in like, I feel like he owes Reuben Cain, you know, Banta Cain, like a lot because his short arms took the kind of notoriety off 30 inch arms. Like, Upton Stout and him have the same arm length, which is crazy. But all right, one more. KC Concepcion.
I really like him, and I think with the makeup of the 49ers offense the way it is right now, there could be tremendous value in KC Concepcion. So I think that one's too tempting. I think I would probably make that selection because you don't have a guy that can do returns right now. He could come in and play the slot. You can move him at Z when Ricky's not on the field. I think that there's a lot of things you could do with him as a weapon. I think having Mike Evans at X makes KC Concepcion even more valuable. I don't know if he's going to make it to 27, but I think that him and Cassius Howell would be two guys that I would be interested in at 27. For the most part of the guys you named, I would trade back to 43 and pick up the extra pick at 75.
Is there another name that I'm leaving off, like Max Iannakker, Omar Cooper Jr., Emmanuel McNeil Warren? Is there somebody else that perhaps is in the back of your head that's like, dude, I hope this guy falls to 27? Zion Young?
I do like Max Iannakker a lot. I think that he is a guy I could see playing left tackle in the NFL for a long time. When you talk about how late he came into playing football in general, but watching his feet and watching the way that he plays consistently out on the edge, he's got enough speed to be able to stick with the best edge pass rushers in the NFL and enough anchor to be able to stay with the guys who have that strong ability to put, you know, pressure with power. So that speed to power, he handles it pretty well, but he's an investment that you got to continue to develop. So that's the thing. You have to decide, am I going to sit on my first round pick potentially for a year? Could Max Iannakker play left guard? I think that that's the question mark for the 49ers, but I really like him as a talent. I think if you were just selecting a straight across tackle, he's got a lot of value at the end of the first round.
Yeah. Oh, fun stuff. And you know, we're going to dive in. We're going to have a lot more draft heavy episodes for sure. Shout out to my man, Trey Hall. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the super chat. He says, first off, Ant, you're a beautiful man. I agree. Second, Chapman, you're the man. I am a man. Thank you. Question. Should we be quote unquote all in this year? I'm going to take this one first. I'm going to say no. I am not. I get this question a lot every offseason. Why don't we go all in like the Rams did? You're not built that way, first off. And second, yeah, they went all in and they're like, well, if it guarantees you a Super Bowl, then you do it. The Rams had three of the luckiest breaks at three consecutive endings of the game of all time. The Jaquaski Tart dropped interception, phantom PI call in the Super Bowl on fourth down, which game would have been over right there. And then they had the fumble as well. I think it was against the Eagles. Like, that doesn't guarantee that. And whenever you have a quarterback like Brock Purdy under contract for a long time, you've got Nick Bosa under contract for a long time, you've got Fred Warner under contract for a long time. Like, your base, your foundation is there. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have talked about how they want to build sustained success, get as many cracks at this as you possibly can. I think that's the way the Niners are built currently, and so I think that's what makes more sense. So you don't want to sacrifice too much future for now. Like, I just don't buy into that. But I know other teams kind of have to do that. The Raiders literally tried to do that last year, and look how that went for them. They really tried to do a win now, you know, go all in, and they got the number one overall pick. So I don't think that you have to change the quote unquote plan into this, oh, we have to go everything we got, try to win it this year. I don't see it that way. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I wouldn't say they're going all in right now. I think usually the signal for all in is usually the trade deadline where you see, you know, the Rams went for Von Miller, right? That was kind of their all in moment where everyone was like, F them picks, right? That's what they did in that moment. I think we've seen the 49ers somewhat do that as well. In 2022, Christian McCaffrey at the trade deadline was kind of like, hey, we're going to get over the hump, and maybe they would have if Brock Purdy didn't get injured. So I think the 49ers have been willing to kind of flirt with that. I do think a Mike Evans signing doesn't signal a team that doesn't believe they can win a Super Bowl. They absolutely believe that they can get there if they make the right move. So I don't think they ever go and push all the chips to the table because they want sustained success, like you said. But they've done moves in the past where they felt like, hey, this could get us over the top. Emmanuel Sanders in 2019, Christian McCaffrey in 2022, both moves that they felt were going to put them over the top, and they came up just short. And so I do believe that they are willing to do that. And if they get to the trade deadline again this year, and they're in a position where they think they're going to win a Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked to see them do it again and make a move to get somebody that can help this football team put them over the top. But it's one of those things you're playing with. How far can we go in with continuing sustained success with the key players that we have? And that's what they've been trying to flirt with this entire time.
Yeah, man, imagine last year, like you and I remember we were on this show. We've recorded a lot together, Ant, which I love. Hopefully we get to continue. But we were on this show at the trade deadline in the season, and we were like, I don't think the Niners are going to go all in. Like, no, like Kyle Shanahan even said, you know, in 2019 was different. We had one of the best defenses. We had the best defense in the NFL. Like, so yeah, we went all in and we traded for, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and whatever. Like, imagine so little draft capital you have now if you did give up a third for Jalen Phillips and then he walked, just like the Eagles did. Did that work for the Eagles? Everybody was so happy with Howie. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now they're going to get their comp pick, you know, next year and all that stuff. But it's not always worth it to push the chips all in. And once the season, and Kyle Shanahan, this is his approach, let's let the season play out a little bit. If we feel like we have something special, sure, let's go ahead and do that. But last year with no Bosa, with no Fred, it, like you had all those injuries, it was just like, dude, this defense is being held together by scraps. And it just wasn't there. So maybe that will be there. Shout out to Vicky. What's up, sis? She says, hey, Aunt. Hey, John. I'm curious why so many of these high-level players are still free agents. Do you think we'll get any other stars before the draft? So let's deal with this two ways. One, Juwan Jennings still out there. There's a lot of other top-tier players that are still out there waiting to get signed. Talk to me just about how this free agency from kind of a broader perspective of the NFL hasn't really shaken out like in many years where we're getting so many deals. That second day of free agency was crickets, man.
Yeah, I think that when you look around the league, a lot of teams are being a little bit more strategic, and I think they're trying to kind of taper off some of these big-time contracts. And I think we're seeing it a little bit with wide receiver, even with Trey Hendrickson, you know, the fact that he had to wait a little bit to get his deal. And, you know, that's a whole fiasco of itself. But I think that, yeah, I think these players thought that they were going to get certain amounts. I think positions that have been tremendous value in the past are kind of starting to kind of come back down a little bit back to reality as some of these teams are really looking to bolster other positions. So guys like Juwan Jennings and some of these receivers who aren't the perfect type of player for every system are having to wait. And so that does make Juwan Jennings a little bit more interesting for some other teams. And I'm sure he'll find a market at some point, but yeah, I think it has been very interesting. I think when you look at who's still available at several positions, there's a lot. And of course, you know that there's going to be the hot ticket items that come off the board, but I think that there's a lot of guys that I expected to be signed already that are still available. But I think this is going to be the growing trend in the NFL as teams kind of make their signings and then kind of take a look at what everything is and how everything's shaking out and then try to find some affordable options and get some of these players to come down on their money a little bit, being willing to take chances and going to the draft. So I think that, yeah, teams are looking at spending and some of the players are realizing their markets aren't as robust as maybe their agents said they were going to be. And we'll see how it settles in.
Yeah, I like the way that you said that. Shout out to Rob Lauder, the Striking Gold podcast. You know him as Lieutenant Simplejack in the chat. The old coach approach hat tip, a weekly highlight of mine. Thank you, man. Appreciate all you're doing. Go check out Striking Gold podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast is freaking awesome. Even whenever he goes off on his racing stuff, which I'm not in, I left Texas for a reason, but you know, I still love you, Rob. You are the freaking man. Miss you, brother. Vicky, now the second part of her question is this: do you think the 49ers will get any other quote-unquote stars before the draft? Remember, last season, zero starters added in free agency. This year so far, two added in free agency. What are your thoughts? Is there a little bit more juice in the budget of the 49ers to go get another starter or star, as Vicky is saying here?
Yeah, I think there is. I think that when you look at the way that they did the Mike Evans deal, the way that they traded for Osa, I think that they're in it for potentially another player. And I don't know exactly who that's going to be. I think that we could see, you know, maybe a familiar face. Drake Greenlaw is out there. Depending on what his money looks like, I think that that is something the 49ers could do. I think there's always still the possibility they get another edge, whether that is a speed edge rusher that they could add. There's still some guys available out there, or even a guy like Joey Bosa. I know a lot of people have, you know, mixed thoughts about Joey Bosa, but if Nick Bosa is going to redo his deal, which he probably will at some point to free up money for the football team, I'm sure he would love a lot of that to be earmarked to his brother so they could play together. And I do think there's an emphasis on restructuring this defensive line and making it as powerful as it can be. And so I think that there's some options out there. And I think there's still some players that are available potentially in trade that we're not talking about right now. 49ers could go get. That means
more
losing
trade?
More
you
draft
trade
capital.
Away more?
I think that they would for the right player in the right situation. Because what is
it's
your
gotta
value?
It's got to be a fourth only, right? You can't trade that first or second round pick, can you?
Only if you're getting a guy you're going to have control over for a while, right? It's not going to be like a one-year rental. It'd have to be somebody you can have control over for a little bit. That's the only way where you're like, we know this guy's a home run hitter. He fits. We got him for the next 2 or 3 years. Like, that makes sense. Other than that, you're right. You don't move off picks 1 or 2. You trade one of those 4 fourth-round picks, and that's where you talk about a guy like Grenard, right, from Minnesota. If you want to go get an edge, one of those fourth-round picks might make a lot of sense for the 49ers. But one thing everyone needs to keep an eye on, nobody is trading 2027 picks. Nobody. That's how much they value next year's draft. It's supposed to be one of the most spectacular drafts. And I think it's interesting to watch these teams panic. Like, look at the Baltimore Ravens panic. Like, oh, wait, we don't want to give up our first round pick next year.
Yeah, they especially like, man, they lost so much so fast. It was like, dude, maybe it's a top 20 pick. And if that's the case, like, man, you can get one of the best wide receivers or whatever. Like, there's pass rushers, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, like offensive tackle, man. Trevor Goosby. Oh, dude. Trevor Goosby, Texas at 74. That dude's top 5 pick written all over him. Oh, dude, so good. Anyway, don't watch Cassius Howell tape against Texas if you want to like Cassius Howell. Don't do it. Please don't do it unless you want to see Texas beat A&M again. They haven't beat Texas in, I think it's like 17 years now. Oh, what's up, man? But given because they ran away and were scared to play us. But that a whole nother story. Don't watch Cassius Howell against Texas. Don't do it. You're going to see a top 5 pick next year in Goosby. Now, let's you brushed through this, and it hurt my feelings a little bit, Ant, because I love you, brother. NY Niners, and lots of people have asked this. Elephant in the room question. Dre Greenlaw, yes or no? He has been officially released. And people, like, as soon as Dre Greenlaw gets brought up, everybody says the same thing. Dude's hurt all the time. You're not paying him top dollar like he's healthy all the time. You're getting a discounted price. And if Dre Greenlaw plays, that dude is elite. Top 10 linebacker in the league when he plays, which is a big if, but you don't have to pay him. You look at Spotrac right now, they have his projected salary at $5 million per year. If you could get Dre Greenlaw for $5 million, he's 28. He sets the tone for the entire team. Yes. So let me ask you this. $5 million deal, Dre Greenlaw, 1 year, take it or leave it. Do you do it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have to think about it at all. In fact, as soon as I could officially talk to him, if I was the 49ers, I was talking to Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw, yes, the injuries are a concern. We know the Achilles, you know, what happened with that, and he didn't play that entire season. That's one thing. I don't know about everything that happened in Denver, but he was never quite right, had some hamstrings and all kinds of stuff like that. But what we do know is there is a reason that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs sideline freaked out and went crazy excited when Dre Greenlaw got hurt, because they knew with 54 and 57 out there, they weren't moving the ball. They weren't doing a single thing out there against that 49ers defense. And so Dre Greenlaw is a huge addition if the 49ers can bring him back. Now, of course, people ask, well, he's got to stay healthy. But here's the thing. You do have D. Winters. You still have Nick Martin. You have some insulation in case he doesn't stay healthy the whole time. But if you can have this guy healthy for most of the season, and he's healthy in the playoffs, he's still a guy that sealed the Green Bay Packers playoff win for the 49ers in 2023. He's still a guy that goes in and stops the run better than most linebackers in this league. He's the one that really freaked out their coach when the reporter talked about downhill and getting downhill. Dre Greenlaw gets downhill, and yes, Sean Payton, I know what downhill means. And I think it's a fun thing to have him back. The energy, the physicality, that is something that was missing without him. He will bring it back, and I think that the 49ers should definitely go for him. I do believe Robert Saleh is going to be on the phone, though. They're going to want to get Dre Greenlaw down there to Tennessee because they know what he means. But I'm just not as concerned about the injuries as everybody else with that kind of financial commitment. If we're talking double digits, $9, $10 million, I'm out. If you're talking $5 million on a one-year deal, absolutely sign it up. Get Dre Greenlaw back in San Francisco.
This dude played in 8 of the Broncos' last 9 games. You knew the injury from the offseason was what it was, you know. But like, let's don't act like this dude doesn't change the way a team plays. Shout out to Big Poppy. I mean, shoot, his AVI says Green Lot. We have spoken many a times about our love. He's my favorite player on the team. Like, well, freaking foster kid, tone setter. I like the dudes that play in the gray, and he plays in the gray. So when you can get a great human that also wants to rip people's heads off in between the whistle, that is John Chapman stamp approved. If you can get him, go get him. But yeah, I don't want to break the bank for him. And you look at this linebacker. I mean, there's still so many linebackers out there. Back to Vicky's question earlier, like, man, just listen to these linebackers that are still available. Okereke, Devin Bush, Bobby Wagner, Levante David, Dre Greenlaw, Akeem Davis Gaither. Like there are guys all over the place. Matt Milano. Like, I do not want to see D Winners be the pinned in starter at will. I don't want to see that. I really, that will bother me. Like, there are two things that will upset me personnel wise moving forward, is if Jair Brown start is your, like, you're starting him week one and you're okay with that, and D Winners starting week one and you're okay with that. Like, those are just two players that didn't show last year. They, and D Winners played a lot and he's tough and the highlights are great, the tape is bad. Like, you have to upgrade those spots, in my opinion. What are your thoughts? Am I overreacting? Am I being too hyperbolic? But, like, I'm going to be pissed if 27 and D Winners are starting week one this year, if that's the plan.
I think what you lack in if those guys are starting is consistency. Yeah. That's what you were expecting to see last year was, hey, now we've got stability. Robert Saleh is back. How consistent can those two guys prove to be? And we know how good Raheem Morris is at locating good safeties and then being able to develop them. We've seen it last year with two rookies that he was able to work with at safety. I don't see him signing off on Jair Brown. Now, I don't know if there's a, you know, a reason to get rid of Jair Brown. Just let him come in and compete. There's no guaranteed money there. Whatever happens there, whatever. But when you're looking for consistency, you need to improve. So either they believe that Marquis Siegel is going to be the guy that just replaces him and they're comfortable with Siegel, and they're going to move that direction, or they need to go figure something out. And at linebacker, it's got to be the same where with Nick Martin, not so much D Winters. I don't think D Winters is going to be consistent. I think he's a highlight guy. If you told me we're going to play him at sandbacker, I would be in on that. If you told me we're going to have some 3-4 looks and he's going to bring some pressure off the outside, you're going to run some twists and some stunts with him and optimize his athleticism, I'm in on that. So there's some things you could still do with him. He's still a valuable piece, but I don't know about him play in and play out as your will linebacker. I think the 49ers need to improve there because you need consistency, and I don't think he really provides that right now.
Yeah, and now if you're telling me D Winters is your Sam, he's your number three guy, cool. I think that's where he should be. Like, I love that. Like, dude, that is, allow him to develop at a slower pace instead of being out there every single play. Like, it's just not there. To be honest with you, I think I'd probably prefer Tatum Bethune in that role. But, like, dude, you got these three young bucks. Nick Martin, you know, still, he got kind of an incomplete last year. Hopefully he's healthy. That's most important. But now it's 2 years without playing meaningful football. And so how do you bank on that? It's Robert Saleh, who loved him, is now gone. Maybe you call the Jets, or sorry, the Titans, and say, hey, why don't you shoot us another fourth rounder? You get your boy Nick Martin. But I don't think after that injury and him not playing, I don't think even Robert Saleh would do that. Maybe a fifth rounder. I'd take that. But it's not so much that I can't stand D Winners. It's just I've seen enough to say he needs more development, more consistency. The eyes got to match the feet. He needs to learn and grow. I just don't want him starting Will. Now, Jair Brown, I don't think he's a fit for this defense personally, but again, rookie players on rookie contracts, not the end of the world if they stay on the team. Just come on, man. Now, another one, Logan, and the 49ers still haven't made their choice here. Bryce Huff, no guaranteed money. You can walk away and be completely done with that trade, or you can sign him, and I got to pull up the deal there with what that would be. What are your thoughts on if the 49ers should keep Bryce Huff or if they should move off of Bryce Huff? Right now, if you cut him, you save $5.3 million. If you cut him, you don't owe him a penny. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I believe that he has some sort of a bonus, right, tomorrow, if I remember right. So this thing is probably going to get resolved. I think it's $1 million bonus tomorrow if he's on the roster. So if that happens, I think they're more inclined to keep him. So I think we're going to find out sooner rather than later. I will say Bryce Huff will be better for the 49ers if Nick Bosa and Osa are rushing the passer and are healthy, because he's going to get a little bit of depth when he rushes the passer. He's a speed rusher. He bends the corner, but it's not a super tight bend. He needs a little bit more depth. If you have Bosa and then you have an interior pressure coming from Osa up the middle, that's going to make the quarterback get a little bit more depth right into the strike zone of a guy like Bryce Huff. So I think that Raheem Morris, he wants to have speed rushers. I think Bryce Huff is still a guy that can get it done on the edge, but we need him to be a specialized pass rusher, right? That's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to be out there playing base three down defensive end like he was asked to do this season. That's not exactly what they wanted, but injuries made that happen for him. So I think if they can get him back into that role, and I think with Nick Bosa and with Osa and some of the guys are going to be able to generate pressure up the middle, then I think he makes a lot of sense for this team, and I think then he'll be successful. But I think we're going to find out really quick whether the 49ers want to keep him or not, whether they give him that $1 million.
Yeah, part of me says, like, you try to renegotiate with them and say, look, we want to keep you, but we're going to bump this down to, you know, a $3.5 million deal with some incentives if you hit sack numbers, whatever else. We want you here, but, man, those last 10 weeks were bad. Yeah, he was asked to do more, but he didn't do anything. And so, like, and here's where maybe a little bit of change, in my opinion, takes place. That third-round pick now, you are fewer and fewer chances of building your roster with new acquisitions now. I'm a little bit more likely to keep Bryce Huff now, because if you keep Bryce Huff, then you don't have to spend. You're not, you know, pinned in, sharpied in. You got to get that speed edge guy. Yeah, you still probably, the Bryce Huff, you know, signing doesn't mean you can't do that. But if you cut Bryce Huff, you have to do that. You do not have it on the roster. You have three defensive ends. That's it. Like you got Bosa, you got Mikel, and you got Sabo. Outside of that, you've got some, you know, pieces on the practice squad, but let's be honest, you ain't got that. So if you do sign Bryce Huff and you do keep Bryce Huff, now you've got four. You've got a little bit of a healthy, you know, whatever. You don't have to go edge in the first or second round. You don't. But yeah, so we'll see. That's going to find out in the final 20, you know, 4 hours before that $1 million bonus gets due. Now, last question before we get out of here, Ant. What are your thoughts? Let's turn back to the draft. Let's reassess what the 49ers roster is now. You've taken care of your ex wide receiver for the short-term future. You've taken care of the defensive tackle room. You've got three young studs there. We'll see what the contract status with Osa is going to be, you know, eventually. What are you thinking is kind of your premium position that you have to address next, whether through the draft or free agency? If you were the general manager, this is my highlighted position we got to address soon.
Yeah, I think if I was the general manager, it might be a little bit different than the 49ers general manager, because I would look at offensive line and want to get a key piece in that first round. I think that there's going to be guys kind of in that 27 range that you could plug and play at left guard, and they could change your football team. And I do think there's some guys with a versatility to move outside. I talked about Maxi Honitor earlier as one of those guys. I think the way the 49ers look at it, they're going to be looking to add an impact player. And that's why when we talked about Cassius Howell earlier, I thought that he was a player that made sense, because he could make an impact day one as a pass rusher out there with some of the things that they're going to do with Raheem Morris and some of the unique looks they're going to get. So I think that a guy like that makes a lot of sense. And I think defensive line is always a position the 49ers value. The other one is wide receiver. And why do I say wide receiver? Because we've seen him do it. And I think that you could still add a wide receiver. I get it. Mike Evans, you got him. He's going to play X. But like we brought up, it could be a one-year deal. maybe they do look at a guy that's explosive that can make some plays. We talked about Casey Concepcion earlier. I think he's an option. Omar Cooper Jr., I think he's an option as well, especially if you're looking for somebody with a little bit of yak. But I don't want to count out, and I'm going to stick with this the whole entire draft season. Chris Brazel is still a first-round pick, in my opinion. And if you're looking to get a guy that could generate a lot of juice out there as your third receiver in his rookie season, and then eventually become that X receiver that plays when Mike Evans moves on, that would be a guy that I'd be 100% interested in. I am still a huge fan of him. I think he runs great routes. He's got great hands. He's got juice, and he can go up and get the football. So I'm going to stick with that. For some reason, I can't shake it. As much as I've tried to turn all my attention to O-line, all my attention to D-line, Chris Brazel keeps sneaking up on me as a guy that I think the 49ers might entertain at that position. And we've seen guys who everyone thought was second round, Ricky Pearsall, go in the end of the first round. If the 49ers are looking for weapons, I think he would still be involved in that thought process.
I love Chris Brazel the second. I love Chris Brazel the second. I struggle with where to put him in Denzel Boston and my vertical stacking of positions, because I think Boston's just so NFL pro ready made. But the ceiling on Chris Brazel is uncanny. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is legit 6'4 and can run a 4.3. They don't make those. Like, that is not normal. And you see the wiggle, like, it is hips. And whenever, like, if you're just your go route guy, that's okay. Like, stud. Okay, cool. 6'4, 4.3, you run your go routes. It's not his best route. His best route is whenever he breaks it off and runs that comeback route, because that dude could shut it down and change gears and sink hips. 6'4 guys don't do that. That is not a normal trait. So he has the counter built in already in his skill set to the go route. So what are you going to do? You're going to play cover four and you're just going to deeper than the deepest? Man, that comeback route, that deep comeback for, you know, 15 to 19 yards is going to be there. And that's in the Shanahan scheme. That is built in. Now, a lot of times they break it in instead of the come out route. But, man, I'm sorry, dude. And yeah, now, Chris, this is the legitimate critique. And it's the same thing with Casey Concepcion as well. They weren't asked to run an NFL route tree. Denzel Boston was. But Tennessee and Texas A&M, that's a high school offense. Very, very true. Now that you have Mike Evans, you get time to bring them in and learn what that is. Now, I don't think KC is going to be an X. Chris Brazel is an X and only an X. Like, that is it. So much more premium position than a slot or a Z. That's just me. But, man, Ant started it. I didn't start the Chris Brazel conversation this time. So y'all put that on Ant. That was not on me. But if the 49ers drafted him number 27 overall, I don't think anybody would be more excited than me. I am such a big fan. And, you know, I don't have my final first round grades solidified yet, but it's going to be at about 15 to 16. And Brazel's one of those. He is a first round graded player in my book, just because the traits, the valuable position, it's enough to overlook the lack of experience and the lack of kind of nuance in the routes, because the dude runs great routes. You have a first round grade on him as well?
Yeah, I do. I just can't. I can't shake it. I've tried to talk myself out of it. Sometimes I do that with players. Like, hey, what am I missing? But when I go back and I watch, I'm just like, look at the way that he gets in and out of his breaks, the way he creates separation. This is a guy that's going to be able to run all of the Kyle Shanahan routes. And I just see a big future for him. And the body control, I know someone said that in chat. The body control is elite. Like, this dude goes up and he just moves. And when I watch him, I just see a player that fits Kyle Shanahan's scheme. And we talked about, you know, Kyle Shanahan falling in love with Teterow McMillan last year. Chris Brazel's kind of that guy that people are going to fall in love with, I think, at some point. I've even seen him mocked as high as, I think it was like when Kansas City got to like 28 or 29. I can't remember where they're at going there. I mean, this dude's legit. And I do think the 49ers would be interested on him. Now, is it going to play out where they pull the trigger on a wide receiver? I don't know. But if you're going to be in a weapons race, you're going to play against a defense like Seattle, and you're going to have to compete with the Los Angeles Rams, you need firepower. Chris Brazel's firepower. And so him, Casey Concepcion, guys like that that can make plays, I love it. And I love the idea of getting another guy that can go make plays down the field vertically. Because wouldn't that throw some teams off if all of a sudden Chris Brazel is running a deep through route and Mike Evans is breaking it off across the middle for a big-time dig? I think that those things could play and be a lot of fun in some three-receiver sets with Brazel. Because I do think you could put him in a three-receiver set, and he could run some through routes and then also snap some things off. He could play the true X. You can kind of move guys around. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Now, why you got to make me like this dude more? I already thought I was too high on him. And then Ant comes in here freaking, you know, putting this stuff out there. That is a big deal, man. And I will say this as we wrap up this show. It is official. Mike Evans has signed his deal. He is in Santa Clara. And so Mike Evans is here. He is a 49er, and I am super excited. So I'm excited about that because now the financials are going to actually be released, which so far seems like an insane deal. I still will say this, and I am curious your opinion. Mike Evans picked the 49ers. The 49ers did not pick Mike Evans. That dude left a lot of money on the table to come here, walked away from the Bucks to be here. And so just keep that in mind. You got a discount. You really got two discounts. Osa gave the Cowboys a discount. They shipped that to us. And Mike Evans gave the 49ers a discount. So maybe there's another star that wants to be out there. So that whole free agents don't want to come play here for whatever reason, that shit don't apply. That is a bunch of dumb stuff. Any closing remarks or takeaways before we jump out of here, my friend?
Hey, just this. It's been fun so far. The offseason is going to continue. The 49ers still have a lot of moves to make, whether that's free agency with depth pieces or the draft. Hang in there, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think that the season is going to be a blast too. So I'm loving it so far, and 49ers football, man. Every year it just gets more and more entertaining, and I'm here for it.
Ah, I love it. All right, guys, you are incredible. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.